Well, let's open to Genesis chapter 21 this evening. Genesis chapter 21, and we'll read verses 22 to 34. Genesis chapter 21, and beginning at verse 22. And it came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, spoke to Abraham, saying, God is with you in all that you do. Now therefore swear to me by God that you will not deal falsely with me, with my offspring, or with my posterity, but that according to the kindness that I have done to you, you will do to me and to the land in which you have dwelt. And Abraham said, I will swear. Then Abraham rebuked Abimelech because of a well of water which Abimelech's servants had seized. And Abimelech said, I do not know who has done this thing. You did not tell me, nor had I heard it until today. So Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them to Abimelech, and the two of them made a covenant. And Abraham set 7 ewe lambs of the flock by themselves. Then Abimelech asked Abraham, what is the meaning of these 7 ewe lambs which you have set by themselves? And he said, you will take these 7 ewe lambs from my hand, that they may be my witness that I have dug this well. Therefore he called that place Beersheba, because the two of them swore an oath there. Thus they made a covenant at Beersheba. So Abimelech rose with Phicol, the commander of his army, and they returned to the land of the Philistines. Then Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba, and there called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham stayed in the land of the Philistines many days. This Abimelech may be the same one that we considered in an earlier chapter. Abimelech is actually a title and not so much a name. It was a title that the Philistine kings used. And so it's possible that it was the same one, but it also could be a different one. But at any rate, no matter who this Abimelech might be, he recognized the blessing of God on Abraham's life just by observing that Abraham clearly worshiped Jehovah, and that he clearly saw that God prospered everything he did. And it was notable to this one. And so he wanted to make a covenant to be an ally with Abraham, so that Abraham and his God would never come against Abimelech and his people. And when you consider that testimony that Abraham had, that in and of itself is a lesson for all of us who claim to be men and women of faith. We should have a testimony that people see that God's blessing is on our life, not always by material blessing, but just the fact that there's peace, that there's joy, that there's wisdom in the decisions that we make, that every aspect of our life, there's something different about us. There's something solid. There's something desirable about how we live, and that it's directly related to our faith in Jesus Christ. It's good when the lost see in us those desirable blessings of God. And it's not wrong for us to make working relationships with the ungodly. We know that we are to separate ourselves from the ways of the world, and we are not to associate closely with those who reject Christ, in the sense that those are our friendships and our partnerships that we take comfort and direction from. But we also know we're sent to the world. We are sent to be that testimony to them that there's a difference in the lives of those who put their faith in Jesus. And there are working relationships that we have to have in this world that are mutually beneficial to us as well as someone who is unsaved. We can have neighbors that are ungodly neighbors and don't want to hear anything about the gospel, and we have tried to plant the seed there, but it's clear they've made a choice. But we can still have a relationship with them and be cordial with them and be mutually beneficial to them without compromising our faith and our obedience to God. And that's the key to any of these relationships. Any association or relationships that require you to compromise your obedience to the Word of God in your personal life, that's an association, that's a relationship that you should have no part of. But as was the case with Abraham and Abimelech in this particular case, they could have this mutually beneficial alliance, that they would not attack one another and that they would also defend one another without Abraham compromising his faith in Jehovah. And so that's a practical lesson I think we can learn from this passage here in this experience of Abraham. Abraham accepts Abimelech's offer, but he also says there's also some business existing issues that need to be taken care of before we make this final. Some of Abimelech's servants had confiscated a well that Abraham had dug. And for us in this modern world where we have running water everywhere we go and just turn the faucet on, we may not fully understand just how important a well like that was to the very existence of a family and of a tribe. It was everything. It was life. Water is life. We take it for granted, but in that day, when you dig a well at some cost and effort, and you find one, because you don't always find water when you put that sacrifice out and that expense to dig that well, but when you find water, that's something you need, that's valuable real estate, and that's something you want to guard and protect. And somehow, Abimelech said he didn't know anything about it. That may be true. That may not be true. God knows whether he was honest or not. But at least he had the wisdom to understand that it wasn't worth fighting with Abraham, who's so blessed of this God who is apparently very powerful. And so he quickly conceded to the conditions here. And so they make a covenant. And as we had in past lessons, when they made a covenant in that day, they took these animals, sacrificed them, split them in two, and then both parties walked between those pieces of animals that had been sacrificed. And basically, when they walked through that together, they were saying, if either one of us breaks the conditions of this covenant, may what happened to these animals happen to us. In other words, it was a pretty serious statement. They made that covenant, and those animals were sacrificed. But then on top of that, Abraham wanted there to be a living, ongoing testimony to this covenant that had been made. And so he gave seven ewe lambs to Abimelech for him to take care of. And so every time that Abimelech would look at those lambs, oh, yeah, I've made a covenant with Abraham. And so that was a living witness and testimony to constantly remind Abimelech of that covenant. And then on Abraham's side, he planted the tree that also was a living witness to Abraham concerning this covenant. It would be ongoing. The tamarisk tree, from what they tell me, the wood is very hard. It lasts very long. It's a hardy tree, and even its leaves are evergreen. And so it was a good witness and symbol of this ongoing, long-lasting covenant he made with Abimelech. He named the name of the place Beersheba, which means a well of an oath, the well of an oath. They say that the Hebrew word for oath and the Hebrew word for seven are very similar. So some people you'll see translated as the well of sevens. Either way, it is Beersheba is a specific reference to that covenant that Abimelech and Abraham made at that place. In addition to this covenant that was made, we also have, as we've had in our study of the names of God, the first time that we are given this name of God, the everlasting God, the God of eternity. This is who Abraham worshipped. This is the one whom he trusted to provide for him and to protect him in all of these relationships and in all of these, the pilgrimage that he was on. And since God is the everlasting God, he will always be around to watch over Abraham and all of his needs, including this oath with Abimelech. Human contracts, they come and go. People promise things and they don't come. The Burgess have had promises for the last month or so of, well, your car will be ready tomorrow. And they were probably sincere when they said that. Let's give them the benefit of the doubt at least. But things come up and they can't fulfill their contract, their covenant, their promise. But God is the everlasting God. He'll always be around. He is all powerful. And so he will be there to do what he said he would do. So his covenants, his promises will never fail. Man's may, but God's never will. Let's go to Hebrews 13 and verses 5 and 6. In all of our travels, our pilgrimage in this life, it's great comfort to know that the everlasting God is the one who promised to watch over us and protect us, no matter whether others keep their promises to us or not. We serve the everlasting God. And that's our comfort. We don't put our trust in man's words. Again, we enter into these relationships and sometimes contracts and covenants. But our trust is in the everlasting God to watch over us and to provide for us like he promised he would do. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, let your conduct be without covetousness. Abraham was a rich man, but he gave credit to his richness, to his prosperity, to the God that he served. Let your conduct be without covetousness. I don't need anything but what God gives me. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. That's comforting when others do forsake you. And it happens, and it's sad. Sometimes it's family, sometimes it's close friends. But the one who will be around forever will never leave you nor forsake you. That's his promise, his covenant with you. Deuteronomy 33, verse 27. Deuteronomy 33, 27. Once again, a very comforting promise. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will thrust out the enemy from before you and will say, destroy. Ultimately, Abraham was not trusting Abimelech and this covenant. He was trusting the everlasting God. But also, we see how that then translates in our dealings with others, that we can enter into those things with God's direction and God's wisdom and peace, knowing that even if others forsake us, he never will. Underneath are those everlasting arms. They never get tired. They'll never let you go. Find your comfort in that when things seem to be going against you. And that seems to be often at times in our life. It's also comforting to know that this everlasting God has made some covenants, some promises to us. Let's go to Hebrews 10. This new covenant that the everlasting God has made with us, it also involves several things, just like Abraham's covenant with Abimelech. It includes a sacrifice, it includes witness, and it includes a promise. Those things were part of the covenant that Abraham had with Abimelech, but the promises, the covenant that we have with the everlasting God that he made with us by his grace, just like the other time we considered this ceremony of the covenant, God passes through that between those sacrifices, committed himself to these promises and these conditions, not us. We don't have to walk through there. This is all by his grace. But it includes a sacrifice, a witness, and a promise. The sacrifice we see in Hebrews 10, verses 8 to 10. Previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin, you did not desire nor had pleasure in them which are offered according to the law, those animal sacrifices of the Old Testament. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first that he may establish the second. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering, the sacrifice, of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So this new covenant that we have with the everlasting God that he made by his grace, it's based on a sacrifice, the sacrifice of his son. But it also has a witness, just as there was the living witness of the seven ewes, we have something even better than that. We don't have to go look at the sheep to know that we are eternally right with God. Romans 8, verses 16 and 17. Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17, here's the witness. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So we have this constant witness of the Holy Spirit that assures us that we are the children of God, that that new covenant of grace that God made with us, it's true, it's lasting, it's real. I'm a child of God, not because I say so, not because I feel like it, but because the Holy Spirit's faithful to remind me in his word and by that personal speaking to my heart. Based on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, you are eternally a child of God. That's the promise of this new covenant. And then in Romans 10, we have this promise. Romans 10, 11 to 13. Abimelech and Abraham promised not to go to war at one another, and that Abimelech would leave the well alone. We have far better promises than that. Romans 10, 11 to 13. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a wonderful promise that's given to us. Abimelech's covenant with Abraham assured Abraham access to that life-giving water from that well. That's a nice assurance. And again, in that day and age, that was a big deal. That water meant life, natural life. But the covenant of the everlasting God assures us access to that well of living water, John 4. And that water gives eternal life. John 4, verses 10 to 14. John chapter 4 and verses 10 to 14. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? And Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. I'm glad for the privilege to call on the Lord, the everlasting God, who's promised me, made a covenant of grace, that I have access to this well of living water that gives me eternal life.